Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We now know the name of the man who was killed after someone fired bullets into a van on I-440. What we're learning from friends of the victim.
Also, the state NAACP filing a federal lawsuit accusing Republican state lawmakers of drawing voting lines that illegally shifts political power to white voters.
And it's sunny out there, but boy, it is cold. Our temperatures with the wind chill are feeling like 30s. I'll show you what it will feel like through the rest of the afternoon. Raleigh police have located the driver of a Nissan SUV involved in an incident with the white van on Sunday on I-440 in Raleigh. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Ken Smith. We so appreciate your time this noon hour. Now, this incident, first classified as a serious assault, now being considered a homicide after finding a white cargo van with bullet holes. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joining us live from outside the Raleigh Police Department with some new information you've just learned. Chelsea.
Yeah, Ken. So this morning, Raleigh police announced they located the driver of that Nissan SUV that they believe is linked to Sunday's homicide. But that's really all RPD said today, not giving any more information. But I should mention in the last 5 minutes, I've just gotten the name from friends and family to the man who was killed in that incident on 440 on Sunday, and that is Rob Williams. He's a Raleigh resident and a handyman who friends say was driving that white cargo van that you see in this video in a second, riddled with bullets. Now, friends and family said Williams, like I said, was a handyman and was leaving a job site on Sunday afternoon in that white cargo van when tragedy struck. Now, we know that Raleigh police have interviewed the driver of the SUV, but is still seeking witnesses in this incident. Raleigh police are also asking any witnesses to come forward or anyone that has video or had a camera in that area between 4 and around 4:30, roughly. Of course, this is between Glenwood Avenue and Western Boulevard on 440. Now, we should mention we've been asking Raleigh police all morning for information on the driver or if any arrests have been made. And right now we've heard nothing. But of course, we'll bring you more updates in our later newscasts and online.
Chelsea Donovan reporting. Chelsea, thanks.
The fired president of St. Augustine's University is now suing the school, claiming a hostile work environment, including race and gender bias. A civil rights law firm filed the charge of discrimination with the Equal Employment and Opportunity Commission on behalf of Dr. Christine McPhail. She claims that the men on St. Augustine University's Board of Trustees berated her and her black female peers and devalued their opinions. McPhail was fired November 4th, less than 2 years after she was appointed president. A Duke graduate is suing the university, claiming the school kicked him out as retaliation after he says he was sexually assaulted by a faculty member. The former student at Duke's Fuqua School of Business says the male professor started grooming him with unwanted personal attention. The student says Duke delayed the investigation for 2 years, and once it was complete, officials dismissed him from the program this summer. Duke has not commented on the lawsuit.
Well, chilly air and breezy conditions combined to bring cold wind chills for the rest of today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WR Survey Weather Center with a look at how it will feel hour by hour for the rest of the day. Elizabeth.
It looks beautiful out there, but you know, you take a look at Wilson, the whirligigs there, a really nice sort of visual gauge of the wind. It's not howling out there, but it doesn't take that much wind to make it feel significantly colder when temperatures are on the chilly side. So it's 42 degrees right now. Our normal high temperature happens in the middle of the afternoon, and this time of year is in the low 50s. We're going to keep it in the mid 40s for this afternoon. We have a wind coming out of the northwest, officially at 9 miles per hour, but it is gusty in some places. The steady wind is on the left and the gusts are on the right. So we're gusting to 18 in the triangle, 18 in Roxborough, 17 in Clinton. The areas where you see the empty boxes are where we don't have any wind gusts currently. But our steady wind is out of the northwest at 7 to 10 miles per hour. That is definitely enough to make it feel considerably colder than it really is. So the temperature is on the left. It's 41, but feels like 36 in Southern Pines. It's 37, but feels like 30 in Roxborough. It feels like 37 in Durham and Raleigh, 36 in Clinton, 37 in Rocky Mount. So it feels chilly, and it's not likely to change through the afternoon. It's likely to feel like mid to upper 30s all the way through 4 or 5 o'clock, and then temperatures really take a plunge. We're looking at very cold temperatures overnight tonight. I'll show you what it will feel like and how long our overnight lows will be in the 20s coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Another lawsuit was filed this morning against the state's new voting maps. It's the third legal challenge to the maps in recent weeks. Let's get to WRAL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Lessing. Laura, why is this one different?
You know, Ken, the lawsuit that was filed this morning in federal court challenges all three sets of maps for the U.S. House, State Senate, and State House. The state NAACP and Common Cause say Republican lawmakers drew districts all across the state in ways that lessened the voting power of Black communities. Now, according to the lawsuit, the map makers in some cases split up Black communities into Republican districts where those communities won't carry much political clout. In other cases, they packed more Black voters than necessary into certain districts to make other districts around those safer for Republican candidates. Attorney Hillary Klein says the U.S. Supreme Court made it clear in a ruling this summer in an Alabama redistricting case that cracking and packing Black voters is a violation of the Federal Voting Rights Act. But, she says, North Carolina lawmakers didn't follow the guidance in that ruling.
The Supreme Court, you know, in affirming the district court's remedial order, is very clear that this is not negotiable. This is not optional. Compliance with the Voting Rights Act is absolutely compulsory, and that is the basis for many of the claims in our complaint.
Groups are not specifically asking for the 2024 elections to be delayed. Klein says since candidate filing is already over, there's probably not enough time for that. Instead, they're asking for the maps to be fixed by 2026 if they aren't addressed by one of the other pending lawsuits before that. The other two lawsuits that have been filed challenge specific districts and specific maps. One group has asked a different federal judge to delay the 2024 election, but the judge in that case has not granted that request. Ken?
Laura, thanks for explaining that. Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Lessing, we appreciate that. Well, one more note about the elections. The Board of Elections will discuss another challenge to former President Donald Trump being listed on the 2024 primary ballot in our state. A registered voter from Stokes County filed that challenge. It argues Trump should not be eligible to be on the ballot because of his involvement in the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. A previous challenge to Trump's status on the North Carolina ballot was voluntarily dismissed back in September.
Today, the Wake County School Board will vote to approve the budget for the upcoming year. The vote was pushed back in October because of the delay in the state budget being approved. Adjustments were then made to the $644 million school budget. The proposed budget includes funding for the construction of new schools. We learned back in October that the board approved new pay scales for Wake County school employees. Those raises have already been given out. The Wake County School Board will take its final steps today to make a new controversial law part of its policy books. The so-called Parents' Bill of Rights deals with gender identity and sexual orientation issues. It requires schools to tell parents if their child wants to change their name or pronoun.
In less than an hour, leaders in Durham will hear recommendations for how to improve safety in the Bull City. Durham's Community Safety and Wellness Task Force will present its final report to City Council today. Among the recommendations expected to be discussed are the creation of an Office for Survivor Care for victims of violent crimes and their families. The task force is also suggesting reallocating vacant positions in the Durham Police Department to the Community Safety Department. Well, the use of gunfire detection technology in Durham is coming to an end. City Council voted last night to end the contract for ShotSpotter, the program that detects the sound of gunfire and alerts police. Opponents spoke out during public comments, sharing concerns about over-policing. They also say funds should be used for other needs in the city. Mayor Leonardo Williams and Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton were the only two officials in favor of extending the program.
Funeral services are underway right now at the National Cathedral for former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. This is a live look at the service right now. She died earlier this month at age 93. The trailblazing justice was the first woman to serve on the high court. She's remembered as a moderate conservative, cast the deciding vote on scores of important cases dealing with everything from abortion and affirmative action to national security and campaign finance.
Well, stocks are rallying this noon hour, coming off another winning session, extending its winning streak to 8. You can see right there the Dow on the positive side, 190 points. The Nasdaq also plus 20 points. The S&P also in the green this noon hour. Lots more to share with you now. Coming up at noon, the case against accused murderer Brian Koberger. When our news continues, the judge's latest ruling that brings that case closer to trial.
Also, a health update on Celine Dion, what her sister is saying about the singer's fight against a neurological condition known as stiff person syndrome.
And we're in the middle of a busy travel holiday season. What the industry is doing to make sure your holiday travel is stress-free.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 13.
You're looking live at Fenton and Cary this noon hour. Perfect weather for ice skating. Boy, the numbers say one thing, but ooh, when that wind picks up, it feels a lot chillier. And always, we thank you for watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Lawyers for Brian Koberger, the man accused of stabbing four University of Idaho students to death last year, have failed once again to get the charges against him dropped. NBC's Laura Jarrett shares the judge's reaction to the challenges presented by his attorneys.
This morning, the case against Brian Koberger inching closer to trial. The judge overseeing the case denying attempts by Koberger's legal team to get the criminal charges against him thrown out. The judge finding his lawyers failed to challenge the indictment on grounds of juror bias, lack of sufficient evidence, or prosecutorial misconduct, adding Koberger was indicted by an impartial grand jury.
This argument really does is fighting against some case law.
The judge also rejecting a second defense motion that claimed prosecutors wrongly used a lower standard of proof when instructing the grand jury, calling the arguments, quote, interesting and creative, but ultimately unpersuasive. It's been more than a year since prosecutors allege Koberger entered this off-campus house and fatally stabbed four college students from the University of Idaho, Zana Kernodle, Ethan Chapin, Madison Mogan, and Kaylee Gonsalves. Authorities say they found Koberger's DNA on a knife case recovered from one of the victims' beds, the actual murder weapon never found. The state has said it's seeking the death penalty. A judge entered a not guilty plea on Koberger's behalf in May. The delay in getting this case to trial, not unusual, but a lawyer for the families says it's taking an emotional toll.
It's tormenting. You know, you want to have at least a trial date set for the family, because it's a time and a date where you can kind of try to move past this kind of monkey that's just sitting out there on your back.
The judge's ruling comes after the university announced last week it would soon demolish the house where the murders took place. The families of the victims worry that would be premature before trial.
The whole family surprised, not only that they're going to be demoing the house, but also the fact that it's happening within 2 weeks, you know, 3 days after Christmas.
That was Laura Jarrett reporting. In August, Koberger waived his right to a speedy trial, indefinitely delaying what was supposed to be an October 2nd start date. A new trial date has not been set. Koberger could face the death penalty if convicted.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a terrible story out of South Florida. A family of four, including two children, are in the hospital today after a gas explosion destroyed their home in South Florida. This is what is left of the home. It happened around 12:30 this morning in West Park, which is in between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. 75 firefighters responded, found extensive damage. They say four people had significant injuries, and some of them may be life-threatening. Multiple homes and cars in the area were also damaged. That area is expected to be closed until at least tomorrow. The state fire marshal says they are investigating the cause of this explosion, but it is likely gas related.
We have a sad update on the condition of superstar Celine Dion. Her sister says the singer has lost control of her muscles as she continues to battle stiff person syndrome. Last year, Dion announced she had been diagnosed with a rare neurological condition which causes spasms and muscle rigidity. Earlier this year, she canceled all her Courage World Tour dates due to the diagnosis. Well, New York City audiences looking for a break from sugar plum fairies and dancing snowflakes have another option this holiday season. The modern dance troupe Momix opens a three-week run tonight. There's not a toy soldier or Mouse King in sight. The dancer illusionists will take over the Joyce Theater through January 7th with a program highlighting the company's 40 years of mind and body bending works. incredible.
Remember the rare gold Nikes that were found in a donation bin in Oregon that we told you about? Well, we've just learned they sold for more than $50,000 at auction on Monday. The Nike Air Jordan 3 shoes were similar to ones worn by Do the Right Thing director Spike Lee at the Oscars in 2019. The shoes were never made available for the public to purchase, and all of the proceeds from the auction sale will go to the Portland Rescue Mission. A Detroit man is spending a week living in a giant red kettle in hopes of reaching a $200,000 donation goal for the Salvation Army. For the next week, he plans to camp inside this giant kettle outside the Salvation Army thrift store to raise awareness for those experiencing homelessness. He plans to live inside the kettle until Christmas Eve or until $200,000 is raised for the Salvation Army's Christmas campaign.
Well, our very own fundraiser benefiting the Salvation Army is well on the way to $200,000. So far, our loyal viewers, many of you, have donated more than $159,000 to the WREL Coats for the Children campaign. Friday was WREL's 35th annual Day of Giving campaign. Phones are ringing off the hook for more than 12 hours. A big thank you to everyone who has donated so far. And get this, you still have time to help out. You can donate through December 31st. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit WREL.com/coats. Or you can drop off a new or gently used coat, hats, and gloves at your neighborhood Jiffy Lube.
The coat, hats, gloves felt good this morning. It was a cold start today.
Yeah, let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WR Severe Weather Center. It looks nice outside, but bundle up.
It is a cold afternoon out there, too. I imagine some of us here haven't been outside to experience it. I thought I would pull up Chapel Hill because typically you can see people walking around. But and I think the kids are probably at home for the Christmas break right now. You can see a few people out there in pretty big puffy coats, long coats. Yeah, everybody's doing their best to bundle up out there. It is 42 degrees, but of course it feels like upper 30s with the wind chill. Our dew point is 17. That's a really low number. It just means that it's very dry out there right now. Our temperature likely to creep up to around 45, and that's as warm as it will be all afternoon, but it's unlikely to feel that warm. We're probably going to keep it in the upper 30s. Again, temperature on the left, wind chill on the right. It's 37 in Roxborough and feels like 31. It's 41 in Southern Pines, but feels like 36. It feels like 39 in Clinton and Goldsboro, 37 in Rocky Mount. And again, those temperatures will creep up just a little bit. Temperatures themselves are running anywhere from about 15 to 17 degrees colder in most places than they were this time yesterday. Yesterday was a pretty mild day. We were still holding on to the remnants of some of that warmth that we saw over the weekend. And I say warmth, I mean 50s around town today, 45 in Raleigh, 44 in Durham, and 46 in Fayetteville. Lots and lots of sunshine, but some breezy conditions. We're going to see winds out of the northwest, about 10 to 13, gusting in some places up to 20, maybe 22, 25 miles per hour. So it definitely makes it feel colder out there. Our temperatures this afternoon as we get into the latter part of the day, definitely going to feel only like upper 30s. We take a look at what's happening out at the Deep App Woolly Bulls Winter Wonderland. Tonight, if you're going, obviously you're going to want to bundle up. Again, hats and gloves are going to feel good out there. Temperature as things open up, 45. We'll drop it into the 30s by about 7 p.m. and onto freezing by about 9 o'clock. But it'll feel colder than that with the wind. However, I will say that the winds will begin to taper down pretty nicely this afternoon. So hopefully we won't see too much of a wind chill effect. It's still going to feel chilly. We're seeing temperatures below normal right here associated with the blue color contours. And temperatures here are above normal with the yellows and reds. We stay fairly cool for the next few days, but we'll gradually start to see a bit of a warm up. 34 is our normal low for tomorrow morning. Now, we tend to see the coldest temperature of the day at around 7 a.m. So tomorrow morning around 7 a.m., 24 degrees, but the wind should be lighter. So hopefully we won't have much of a wind chill along with that. 28 Thursday morning, 32 Friday morning, and then we're above freezing for Saturday and Sunday morning. Taking a look at Christmas Day for Monday morning, our temperatures are also likely to be in the mid to upper 30s. We're looking at mostly cloudy skies for Christmas Day, a high of 56 degrees and a sprinkle or two. There's actually a system that we're watching for the middle of next week, the middle of the week after Christmas, that could bring us some heavy soaking rain. We're going to take a peek at that and talk about how that will have potentially some impacts for Sunday and Monday. Right now, it looks like we should stay fairly dry. We'll take a peek at that coming up in just a few minutes.
Elizabeth, thanks. It is the season of giving all month long. Five on Your Side is highlighting the top tested gifts of the year. Today on your news at 4, Kelly Arthur has Consumer Reports best items for the foodie in your life.
Also, Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bayes is inside the Cross Creek Mall ahead of final shopping and shipping deadlines. How the mall is faring compared to years past. That's tonight at 5:30. Our news continues now at noon, though. Hundreds of thousands of popular air fryers being recalled due to a fire hazard, the problem that could pose a risk for you and your loved ones.
And a growing trend in the hybrid workplace is called coffee badging. We'll tell you what it is and the percentage of workers admitting to taking part in this.
We have an important recall to share involving two popular air fryers sold at retail stores nationwide. Empower Brands is recalling two models of the Power XL Dual Basket Air Fryer. The plastic connector that can be used to combine two food baskets inside of the unit can break during use and as a result pose a burn risk. The maker of the recalled models has received 41 reports of the product breaking during use, including three reports of burns. More than 300,000 air fryers sold between August 2021 through October of this year affected. Stop using the product and contact the maker for a refund. Another recall to tell you about, this one involving spinach, routine testing finding listeria. The recall applies to 8-ounce bags of fresh express spinach and 9-ounce bags of public spinach. No illnesses have been reported and no other products are being recalled. Five on Your Side explains how to know if your bag is spinach is recalled and how to get a refund on WRL.com. Just search recall.
Some employees who are heading back to the office may be skipping out early. There's a new trend called coffee badging. That's when workers go to the office for only enough time to show their face, swipe their badge, and grab a cup of coffee before leaving to finish their work at home. A video conferencing device company says 58% of hybrid workers surveyed are coffee badging, while 64% of managers say they participated in the trend as well. Inflation may be cooling, but households are still feeling squeezed. As of November, 62% of adults say they are living paycheck to paycheck. Households that are stretched too thin are also more likely to have revolving credit card debt and feel financial distress. Even still, holiday spending is expected to reach a record total of $957 to $966 billion.
Google agreed to pay $700 million to states and consumers to settle an antitrust lawsuit. The Justice Department and dozens of states accused the company of abusing its dominance in online searches. Roughly 102 million users will share about $630 million. The other $70 million will go to the states involved in the suit. Affected consumers will not need to file a claim in order to benefit from the agreement. Comcast Xfinity customers might want to change their passwords immediately. The company confirms it suffered a data breach in October. Comcast says the breach was likely due to a vulnerability in software, which has been fixed. Xfinity provides video, broadband, and phone service. Hackers may have gotten access to customer information such as usernames, passwords, and the last four digits of Social Security numbers.
AAA says about 115 million Americans will travel this holiday season. Coming up, how the industry plans to handle the number of travelers that could surpass pre-pandemic levels.
Also, how Weight Watchers plan to tailor a program that will include weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy. And heading to break, your winning lottery numbers right there on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Well, buckle up. Holiday travel is entering its busiest period. Fresh on everyone's minds are the cancellation nightmares from last year.
One word, Southwest. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Castor shares the preparations that are supposed to keep everything running smoothly this year.
Beginning to feel like deja vu for air travelers. Wet weather from the northeast to the west already threatening flight delays. Could airline operational meltdowns be next? Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says,
We're telling them not to let this happen again. And my sense is that they have learned that the hard way. But also the entire industry needs to see this as a signal.
Buttigieg highlighting the fine against Southwest Airlines for the 2022 holiday travel meltdown. Southwest will pay the biggest airline fine ever, $140 million, for canceling 17,000 flights and stranding more than 2 million passengers.
I hope we'll get them to get their stuff together.
So far, airline passengers seem to be giving the airline a second chance this holiday season.
On both legs, it was very timely, very courteous, and very professional.
Southwest's hefty fine is getting the attention of other airlines who might take their own precautionary measures.
What we'll see, though, as a consequence, is that airfares may rise.
Besides cost, lingering issues could still cause problems for airline passengers over the next 2 weeks. Air traffic controllers are still in short supply, and runway near misses are still big issues.
We know we need more air traffic controllers. We're working hard to hire from a variety of sources.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. Remember to arrive early for flights this holiday season to allow extra time for TSA security checks. Agents are gearing up to screen more than 2.5 million passengers a day.
Well, your electric rates may be going up soon. Next month, rates will start rising for Duke Energy Carolina's customers. Duke Energy Carolina serves 2 million households and businesses in central and western North Carolina, including Charlotte, Durham, and the Triad. State regulators approved a 3-year, 14.6% rate hike. Now, rates will go up 8.3% starting January 15th, 3.3% in 2025, and 3% in 2026. Duke Energy says the extra money will help upgrade its electric grid, improve reliability, and reduce pollution.
A family in Wilson is left heartbroken after this young girl, Jasmine Kite, died from the flu. Jasmine died yesterday after suffering viral myocarditis, an inflammation of the heart muscle brought on by the flu virus. Family members shared more about what happened to Jasmine in a GoFundMe post. She was diagnosed with the flu on Wednesday, then went into cardiac arrest on Thursday, and she died in the hospital Monday. Pediatrician Dr. Lori Langdon talked with WRL about when to seek medical help for a child with the flu.
The actual number of fever is not what really scares us. It's how that child is handling the fever, if they're having difficulty breathing or dehydration.
Dr. Langdon says a child experiencing heart issues when they have the flu is not extremely common. Jasmine is the second child to die of the flu this season in North Carolina. The state reports new numbers every week. The most recent numbers through December 9th show one child and 13 adults have died from the flu since October 1st.
Well, many people will rely on fitness trackers to monitor their health to avoid gaining weight from all the tasty treats this holiday season. Technology experts say, though, the data can sometimes be useless if you don't know what to do with it. Jackie Abanias takes a closer look at how you can make the most out of your gadgets.
With food and drink usually aplenty during the holidays, all the treats can take a toll on our waistlines. According to a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the average person gains roughly 1 pound during the season.
Merry Christmas.
Since it's also the season of gifting, many people could be unwrapping fitness devices to revamp their workouts heading into the new year. But while health trackers can help us gauge our activity levels, sleep patterns, and more, Samantha Kleinberg of the Stevens Institute of Technology says all the data can be overwhelming.
Now, when you see an advertisement for a new device, the smartwatch or something to track your sleep or a ring, you know, all these different form factors, you're thinking, oh, that's cool. I can learn more, right? And then there's this tenuous connection of like, somehow if I learn more, I'm able to do stuff with it. But the commercials don't really tell you how you're going to do that.
Having a goal of what you want to achieve can help you better make sense of the data. Still, Kleinberg says there can be inaccuracies.
People use the information from their Fitbit or other device to figure out, here's how many calories I'm burning in a day, so that's how many calories I can eat, and if I eat less than that, I'm going to lose weight. But if the device is inaccurate, then you're going to get a different result than you expect.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends adults get at least 150 minutes of moderate physical activity every week and dedicate 2 days to strengthening their muscles.
And that was Jackie Banya's reporting. Now, going on walks to see holiday lights and parking farther away from stores when shopping are simple ways that CDC says you can stay moving this holiday season.
We all deserve some time to ourselves, but if you try to carve some time out at bedtime, why new research says it could backfire on you.
Also, it could be a game changer for breast cancer. While early results on a breast cancer vaccine look very promising, our team is working to bring you exclusive stories for coverage you'll find only on WRAL. Visit WRAL.com and search only.
A new vaccine could be life-changing for some cancer patients. A treatment from Anixa Biosciences is designed to prevent the recurrence of the most aggressive form of breast cancer. The vaccine is distributed in a series of three shots and could eventually eliminate other forms of cancer. The FDA approved human testing in 2021, and right now shots are only being given to women with triple negative breast cancer since it has a high recurrence rate. Weight Watchers is launching a new program for subscribers using weight loss drugs. Weight Watchers GLP-1 will center on establishing healthy habits for those who are taking weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy. The program includes nutrition and activity goals meant to help people keep muscle mass. Company officials say those who take the medications tend to lose weight and muscle mass quickly and have a decline in appetite.
Well, do you tend to stay up later than you should so you can have some more time to yourself? Well, there's actually a name for that. It's called revenge bedtime procrastination. Endless scrolling on social media is considered the procrastination part. The revenge aspect is where you take revenge on the day, feeling like you didn't have enough time for yourself. So, for example, a new parent or someone who has a very busy work schedule might delay sleep so they can finally relax. While it might feel good in the moment, that lack of sleep will catch up with you at some point. You might also begin to suffer from insomnia.
If this is something that you do routinely, your body and your brain are going to start to learn, I get into bed and I scroll, or I get into bed and I do something else.
With three little ones, I can relate to this story completely. Well, you don't have to stop using your phone or other electronics completely. Instead, just use them in another room until you're tired so that your bed is only associated with sleep. Also, be mindful of the kind of content you're watching or reading before bedtime. Take a break from baking and treat yourself to a holiday-themed dessert cafe. We'll tell you about a special event at Raleigh where you can enjoy sweets and meet the right Santa in person. Hey, Santa. Also, a man is helping families create sweet holiday memories. Later, we'll take you to a shop in Florida where a 125-year-old Christmas tradition is still thriving.
If you have visions of sugar plum fairies dancing in your head, well, the Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts is the place to be this weekend. The Dessertery is returning, and that can allow you a chance to just indulge in all kinds of sweet things. And there will be a very special guest there at the Dessertery as well. And we have him right here in our studio. Santa, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And this Santa is also known as the Right Santa. That's because during the daytime, he goes by Brian Wright. Talk about how you ended up taking on the role of Santa and why you wanted to do that.
Well, I came home from work and my wife had said, the Mrs. Santa, said, I got a proposition for you. I want you to do something. And so I didn't know. She pulled out the uniform and she spoke to me about it and said, would you like to give it a try? I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And after doing it and seeing the joy on the kids' face, and that's the biggest reason why we do it, because it's far more that brings us together than separates us, you know?
Oh,
so well this said. Time of the year should be one of those times.
So how many years have you been doing this now?
This is the third year.
Okay.
This is the third year.
And what brings you joy when you listen to the kids who approach you and take pictures with them?
Oh, when they tell me what they want. Mm. You know, what they want for Christmas. I've been inundated with so many little kids, and I had a young, beautiful little baby at Dessertery the other day. She was a four-month-old. My youngest has been 6 weeks old, and the little, she was in her emerald green with a green bow on her head, and her mom and dad put her down on my arms. And as I was getting ready for the picture, she grabbed a handful of beard, and it was just fun. And it's just fun to see the kids enjoy
How
themselves
precious.
And the reason for the season.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of such special memories as people take pictures with the right Santa?
And that gives me great joy because those are pictures that they can share for years and years. Mm-hmm. I've had many people say, you know, this is the first time we had a picture, of course, with a black Santa. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. I enjoy it. And I just enjoy the kids, period. And most of the parents enjoy it, too, especially at the Dessertery.
So the Dessertery, what can we expect there? I hear it's all kinds of desserts, right?
all kind of sugar high for the kids and all goodies for the adults as well. And some of them even go for the shows. They have shows at there too. And they get much of their sugar rush, that's for sure. I don't envy the parents trying to get them to sleep after that.
And how can we ensure that people get a picture with you? You're the big star there.
Yeah, we're off to the side. We have a booth there, and we have this nice camera. I mean, we do the boomerang camera. We do the still camera. You text your phone number in, it's going straight to your phone, a memory for the dessertery for years to come.
All right, so this is happening this weekend at Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Raleigh. You want to get your tickets, you can buy them online or at the box office in person. So tickets are $28 for those 7 and above, $15 for ages 2 to 6, and children under 2 are free, but they must be registered because space is limited. And you can get your picture with the right Santa this Saturday between 5:30 and 9:30. I'm going to get a picture with him. Oh, and happy birthday to you, Santa.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ken.
Well, thanks, Renee. We want to switch gears here a minute. We're following some breaking news right now. Sky 5 is overseen on Western Boulevard. There you see it right there, just down the street from the station. That's the Bojangles. We're told that Western Boulevard is closed in both directions. You see that heavy police presence there around the Bojangles. Of course, Amedeo's is right across the street. Wendy's is not far away as well, right there in that this area that we're looking at, courtesy of Sky 5. This story is happening right now. Our assignment desk is calling Raleigh police, asking questions. As soon as we get any new information about this scene, we'll be sure to pass it on during this newscast and, of course, online at WREL.com. All right, let's head over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center, tracking this very cold day that we're experiencing.
Yeah, much different than yesterday. Our temperatures are running 10 to 15 degrees colder than they were this time yesterday. We're going to really feel it tonight as our overnight lows are going to be in the mid-20s. We'll be in the upper 20s for Thursday morning, too. So this cold air is going to be with us for a couple of days. But by the time we get to the weekend, we'll see temperatures moderating a little bit. I don't even say warm up, moderating. Beautiful in Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, all looking beautiful. Blue skies, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and blue skies there over our newsroom in Fayetteville. This is a look at the temperature and the wind chill again. Just kind of checking in on it again. It hasn't changed a whole lot, just pretty much holding with our temperatures in the low 40s and our wind chill in the 30s. It's 39 in Roxborough, feeling like 32. It feels like 37 Durham, Raleigh, and Rocky Mount. It feels like 37 in Fayetteville and Clinton, 36 in Southern Pine, 39 in Goldsboro. Probably going to hold it there, feeling like the upper 30s for the rest of the day. This is a look at our hour-by-hour wind chill. So again, holding it in the upper 30s for the most part. Once we hit sunset, look at how that drops from 4 o'clock at 38 to 6 o'clock, feeling like 31. And then, of course, our temperatures will drop down into the mid-20s. So keep that in mind. If you're going to be out even at, say, 8 or 9 o'clock, it's already going to feel like upper 20s. The wind will start to die down, but the temperatures will keep on falling. Right now, we do have a strong flow that's coming out of the north. We had a few snow flurries in the mountains. You know, we had a few of those overnight last night here, too. Some of us wish it had been a little bit more, but you know how that goes. It doesn't look like we've got any chance of a white Christmas. We'll be clear for the rest of the afternoon and evening, but let's take a look at Saturday. We start Saturday with clear skies, but we're watching a developing system potentially across the middle of the country that could affect us by the middle of next week. So I mean, we're looking way ahead, but of course, it may be a big travel week next week after the Christmas holiday. So we'll take a look at Sunday. This is Christmas Eve. We'll see increasing clouds during the day on Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Day on Monday, we'll likely have cloudy skies. And you can see the rain getting very close to us. Some of the other models want to bring that rain in with maybe just a little bit of light sprinkles for Monday, maybe even on Sunday. So we did add that to the forecast. Mike added that yesterday just to cover the bases as we watch that next system. It does look like it could be a soaker, but it doesn't arrive until Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, not even this week. So again, we're looking way ahead. So your holiday planner, 58 for Christmas Eve, 56 for Christmas Day, mostly cloudy, a small chance for sprinkles. And those temperatures are actually pretty close to normal. The coldest Christmas day that we've seen at RDU was 19, set back in 1983. Last year was 40 degrees, so it was chilly, and it was the 24th coldest. We take a look at that system that we may end up seeing next
next week, and it could be a soaker for us. It could cause some travel problems for folks after the Christmas holiday. Notice the 27th through January 2nd, we have a good chance of above normal precipitation and above normal temperatures. You know, us snow lovers like that above normal precipitation, but you know, then you throw in that above normal temperature and yeah, well, certainly we're not going to see a white Christmas this year. Tomorrow is the first, or excuse me, Thursday, getting ahead of myself. Thursday is the first day of winter. Our highs will be in the mid to upper 50s, and that'll be true all the way through Monday. A little cold for the next few mornings, but then we're seeing temperatures closer to normal by the weekend.
Elizabeth, we better get some snow this season because we bought the girls snowsuits. So we've got to do something.
Well, if you've got snowsuits, it's bound to happen, Ken.
Elizabeth, thanks. We'll be back with our top stories after the break. As we wrap things up here, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Raleigh police have located the driver of a Nissan SUV involved in an incident with a white van on Sunday on Interstate 440 in Raleigh. WREL News has learned the driver's name, or the victim's name rather, is Rob Williams. Officers interviewed the driver of that SUV connected to the case but have not made an arrest.
Another lawsuit was filed this morning against the state's new voting maps. It focuses on maps for the state Senate, state House, and U.S. House. The NAACP claims Republican lawmakers drew the districts in ways that lessen the voting power of black communities. They do not want the 2024 election to be delayed. This challenge asks the court to order the maps to be changed by 2026.
Today, the Wake County School Board will vote to approve the budget for the upcoming year. The vote was pushed back to October because of the delay in the state budget being approved. Adjustments were then made to the $644 million school's budget. We learned back in October the board approved new pay scales for Wake County school employees. Those raises have already been given out.
A unique little town in Florida is carrying on a 125-year tradition of crafting candy canes. Every December, the Fudge Factory of Anna Maria Island is infused with the scent of minty candy canes. The owner uses his grandfather's recipe and original equipment from Greece to make candy canes the way they did in 1898. People gather in store or look through a window to see the show.
I brought this original marble table with me. That's how important it was to keep the tradition going. I get a little choked up thinking about it. I guess it means a lot to me.
The candy canes are 10 times bigger than those made in factories and last all day. Friday and Saturday are the last days for people to make their own candy canes this season at the shop.
Oh, I can smell the aroma. Can't you, though?
It looks beautiful.
Absolutely. All our pet of the day wants for Christmas is a forever family where he can grow up to be an awesome companion. Meet Birch. He's a 74-pound yellow lab and Great Pyrenees mix. He loves people and other dogs and playing ball. You can believe he's only 10 months old. Birch still has a lot of puppy enthusiasm and is curious about everything. Sometimes he doesn't realize how big he is when he's running, so he's best suited in a home without small children. Now, to make Birch's Christmas wish, visit Red Barn Rescue, fill out an application, and go from there.
It's a season of giving, and all month long, Five on Your Side is highlighting the top tested gifts of the year. So coming up on WRL News at 4, Keely Arthur has Consumer Reports' best items for the foodie in your life.
Stay tuned for NBC News Daily next, right after this newscast.
Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.